It's good to see all of you. I'm gonna start off with a little history, like I do also. But I find it's. Can you hear me? I'm gonna start off with a little history in a second. But I've been trying this new way of praying every morning for the last 2 weeks, and I've seen a lot of dividends, good coming in my own life. And I find it helps me if I just take a moment, kind of take a deep breath in and out, and just, like, it sounds so cliche, but be grateful for the things that I have. It'd be so easy to look this morning and be like, there's only, 10 people in this place, and have our whole world shift into that negative way of looking what is not instead of what is. It's not as hot as it was. Surrounded by loved ones in a place purpose-built for praising the author of every good thing. So I think it's just important to remember that. I wasn't remembering that earlier this week. I texted Judd. I was having a bout of sanctimonious indignation. You know, much of what we think of as Christianity is based on non-Jesus sayings. All people are a product of their society, of their surroundings. Sure, I believe there's nature and nurture. But if we were all born in Baghdad, all of us would be Muslim. That's a fact, right? If any of my teachers, my fellow teachers who teach Turn or Burn, if they were born in Tehran, none of them would... The vast majority are Christians because their parents were Christians, because they, right? So in my approximation, that's explains a lot of who we are and where we go. And there's good things and bad things about that. But it's also important to remember that the people in the Bible were the same way as us. Abraham, as he was, before the Lord called him out to follow him, was around people who sacrificed. So he brings that practice with him. Of course he does. That's how he was raised. That's what he saw every day of his life. If you lived back in this time, and for most of history, you lived on a razor's edge of survival. If it doesn't rain enough, people starve. If it rains too much, people starve. If the people over there didn't get enough rain, they come over here and kill you and take your grain. That was the precarious nature of life. And they didn't understand the water cycle and evaporation and H2O, so how would they explain too much rain or not enough rain? The gods, right? If the gods are happy, you get just the right amount of rain. You upset the gods, too little rain. Really upset the gods, too much rain. Now you got famine and flooding. Everybody, the whole thing's a mess. But how then do you keep the gods happy? You have to give them something. I always tell the students this. I say, I already know that I'm your favorite teacher. And they all grumble, grumble, grumble. And I said, but imagine that every time you came into class, I gave you $10. How much more would you like me then than you do now? Obviously, if everybody who came to church got $1,000, there'd be a lot more people in the pews. So you give gifts to make people happy. So if that's how you make people happy, well, it stands to reason that that's how you would give the gods happy. You give them a gift. Well, if everybody who came into church got a penny, still nobody's coming. So you need a gift that's valuable. Ergo, sacrifice, right? The larger the sacrifice, the bigger the gift. If things are going well and you want them to stay good, then you sacrifice a sheep or a goat, right? That's valuable. you're giving it to the gods, and that maintains the status quo, right? But if things are dire, right, we're talking about like the walls are surrounded, they're coming in at any moment, we got to figure this out. We got to make people happy. You got to give a big gift. You got to make a big, big sacrifice. Because the gods must be really angry with you. Well, what could be bigger than a sheep or a goat or a cow? Your own child. Your legacy. The person who helps you on your farm. That is the greatest gift of all. So it's no coincidence then that when Abraham comes out, when he hears the voice of God, he can't just be like, oh, awesome, I'll follow you and listen to your word. He has to be like, well, you've given me this, so I got to give you something. So what does he do? He kills a cow. He cuts it in half, and he makes promises. He's trying to show, I mean business. Judy says, if I clean my room every day, can we get this, that, or the other? And I say, well, baby, you don't clean your room every day. And she goes, I promise. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. I pinky promise, right? She's like trying to show me, dude, I really, really, really promise right now. I'm like, really promising. That's what, in essence, Abraham's doing. And so then when he hears the voice of the devil telling him to sacrifice his son, that's not a coincidence either. For the people of the ancient times, religion was transactional. You give me this, I give you that. That's the covenant. That's the promise. You do this and I do. You don't do this, then the deal's off. The Jews don't follow the Holy Spirit. They don't follow Yahweh. Then the Philistines come and it's all bad news. Does that make sense? When Jesus comes, the first thing he does is attack the status quo. The first thing he does is attack their ideas of the Sabbath, their ideas of sacrifice, their ideas of holiness. I came to write a new covenant. And yet we still bring all that old baggage of transaction. You will get to heaven if you pay. But this time, instead of having to pay with a cow, it's already been paid. You just have to believe in the payment. But this transaction is still there. There is no salvation without sacrifice. That makes sense? In my opinion, it is so important to be willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and let go and shed any preconceived notions that we have about how things are supposed to be. I had a real hard time this week. People have different abilities and different strengths and weaknesses. Like my father, I have a weakness of letting go of the hypocrisy of certain traditional theologies. They just stick in my craw in a way that's hard for me. They're good people trying to do good things. The fact that I don't agree with them doesn't make them idiots. I gotta let that go. But I was having a hard time. We had something go down at school where there were some things that were said that were really not okay, and we had to address them by students, not going to go into the whole thing. And those students needed to be taught and led. But on Friday, we had a whole chapel where we invited the kids to come up and beg for forgiveness of their sins. And that was so hard for me because I felt those three boys have no illusions about who we're talking about. And now they're thinking, I've done this dirty thing and I'm dirty and I gotta beg for forgiveness or else that dirt's gonna be all over me. I can only wash it off with the blood. That's fine, right? How long, how old do they get before they don't buy that anymore? Right? And they say, I'm not dirty. What was I thinking? And then they throw out all of the gospel and all of the help of the Holy Spirit that they could have. Either you're a dirty person that needs the blood, or you just throw it all away. But there's so much more to be gained. The scripture says you don't need to ask for forgiveness. You've been forgiven. I forgave you before you even asked. He says it. My daughter consistently doesn't clean her room. Said it a million times here. And yet I love her. I love her without transactional necessity. Would I like her to clean her room? Yes. But my love for her is not dependent upon her behavior. Am I more capable of love and forgiveness than the Father? Am I purer in spirit and nobler of mind than the author of creation? Or what if Judy sinned and I said, well, I'm going to kill Aiden and that'll be good. What ridiculous notion. Carried from thousands of years. The word cult means a bad thing today. But in the past, the cult, every god had their cult. You had the god of the hearth, the god of war, the god of the harvest, the god of the sky, the god of the... And if you were in the cult of Poseidon, then it was your job to make Poseidon happy. The word cult means to take care of. Agriculture means to take care of the land. So, cultis dominus means to take care of God. Right? You have to make him happy. Because we ascribe our notions, our own beliefs. If somebody stole my Kia, I want payment. So I just assume that's what God wants. You're just going to live your whole life sinning, being a filthy, dirty sinner, while I've been pious my whole life, wanting to sin but not sinning, and then we both get to go to heaven? Where's the justice in that, I wonder? I walked with my kids to the supermarket the other day, and I walked past a bar. Sometimes, if I was with different people, I may have walked in there. But I didn't. Are those people dirty sinners? But I'm not. I would say that I saw a lot of them in there looking for solace, looking for things that they're never going to get while they're there. But they're already forgiven. They're already clean. I'm already forgiven. I'm already clean. It's only the hell I put myself through while I'm here. There is no transaction. The love of God is faithful to the end, always, regardless of our circumstances. It's just a matter of what we ourselves have to deal with. So as we continue on our journey here, in my own mind, it's very important to remember that. Regardless of who's in the seats, of who's out there, of who's doing whatever, it's my own journey, it's my own relationship that I gotta hang on to, I gotta figure out, I gotta follow, I gotta learn. I gotta forgive myself. God already forgave me. Any guilt I feel is I put it on myself. Anyhow, I wanted to start with, oh no, COVID just texted me. She's in the quarantine zone. She wants me to call right now, sorry. She doesn't. Boy, I'm preaching right now.
Oh, okay. I'll put it on mute.
Okay. All right. So, I want to start with that, but I want to read a few scriptures and kind of talk about things that I have been dwelling on this week. So if you'll get out your scriptures, if you want, your Bibles, we're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. I spoke in the past about where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And I think that that's important to remember. If you're always, the things that you're seeking, that's where your heart's going to be. If you're always seeking others' approval, that's where you're never going to be able to find the Holy Spirit if you're, anyhow. But right after that, Jesus says, but store for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Jesus is full of metaphors. Light being understanding, wisdom, knowledge, awareness. Darkness being pain and suffering, right? The eye. If the eye is clear, the whole body will be clear. I believe that God has forgiven us. Before He created us, He forgave us. The feelings and emotions that I had on Friday were judgment, were anger. My eye was not clear. Even if what I was thinking was true, and I believe it to be true, the way that I was viewing the whole thing was judgmental. Did that make sense? And so my eye was not clear. And so there was no peace. There was no understanding. There was no wisdom. There was no forgiveness in me. Because I was focused entirely on what I perceived as their wrongness. As long as I was looking at their wrongness, I'm clouded with all of that negative stuff. And then the volume gets turned up in my brain. As I start thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about how they're wrong and how I'm right and how this is that. Is that the Holy Spirit? Ash just hung up. My eye was not clear. If my eye is clear, then it doesn't matter what they're doing or anyone is doing. With a clear eye, we can forgive and move forward. They're nailing Jesus to the cross. And He's forgiving. Because His eye was always clear. And if His eye is clear, then His body is clear. His mind is clear. His spirit is clear. What kind of things do we get caught up in? I went to Rite Aid to buy some soda for Aiden. And there was this woman at the front who had some kind of problem, right? And she was being very difficult and condescending to the lady who was working. Her eye was not clear. And therefore, her whole world turned into this misery. And the more she fights it, the more obstructed her view becomes. The eye cannot be clear until we hear the wisdom and the advice of the Holy Spirit. I feel like I'm not explaining this very well, but that's the gospel, is that He will help you clear your eye. He will help you clear your mind. He will lead you into all wisdom. If you follow Him. But we get so caught up in all of the things, a million different pitfalls. I have a friend who deals with depression and anxiety. And they're always talking about it. They're always struggling with it. Right? Their eye is focused entirely on it. But the more they're fighting it, it's like Jacob and the angel. The more they fight it, the more power they give to it. Right? Their whole world is focused on their depression and their anxiety. They're talking about it. They're thinking about it. They're believing in it. They're identifying as it. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm depressed. I'm just feeling depressed. I'm always so depressed. Well, of course you are. You think about it constantly. You're strengthening it. You're never going to be able to beat depression into submission. It's only by listening to the Holy Spirit and being able to step away that you see it for what it is. And then you let it go. As long as I was looking in judgment, I'm thinking about it, I'm fighting it, my whole attention is focused on it. I was in this same building. And instead of feeling the peace and love and harmony that I should feel, I'm feeling all of this angst and all of these, because I'm fighting that thing. My eye is focused and full of that thing. I texted Judd and he texted me back. And then I started to pray about it. And the more that I kind of relaxed and prayed about it, the more I was able to let it go. I just got to walk away from it. Not like physically leave the building, but I got to just let it go. It has no power over me. And my eye becomes clear. Not for them, not for... They're on their journey. I'm on my journey. My eye can only be clear when I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and tapped into the wisdom that He gives. So I'm not judging the people in the bar, but when they're drinking and they're talking and they're doing all of those things, their eyes become focused, and sometimes focused on things that should not be focused on. Does that make sense? Their eye becomes filled up. Their consciousness, their thought processes become filled up. Now, does that mean that if you have some wine or have some beer that... No. But I would say that pray about it, be aware of it. If you're fighting it, if you're struggling about it, if you're thinking of it all the time, that may be something that you need to address or let go of. But each and every one of us has our own thing. Some people are peaceful in their minds and don't get bothered. I'm not that guy. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with... It's like there's so much noise in my mind all the time. And I'm constantly just like unconsciously thinking of every single thing in the world. And my eye is constantly full of all of these things that take me away from the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the clarity He brings. It's only in as much as I'm able to step away and think about it that He's able to clear my mind. The second verse that I want to bring into that, you probably know it by heart, but it's Matthew 7, verse 24. It's about the wise man. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The foundation is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Your journey is different than my journey. Your struggles are different than my struggles, but the foundation is the same. I pray for Josette and her family every day, and I think of the pain that they feel on a regular basis. Their storm is huge and different than my storm. But I got winds and I got rain. And when I'm able to pray and be aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what winds come. I'm fortified because I can let it all go. Sometimes I fear for my children. It's like a cold in my chest. I feel it creeping up. I think, what about my daughter? This is my little Judy. What could happen to her? It like paralyzes me with fear sometimes. And I think about it, and the enemy attacks me with visions of terrible things that could happen to her. But I remember, the Holy Spirit guides me. And the wisdom that I get from the Holy Spirit will be a witness to my daughter. And the foundation that she builds, it doesn't matter the wind that comes. She'll be okay. And if I don't listen, there's nothing that I can do. It's constantly being aware of the voice. I was talking to my daughter Jude, speaking of Jude, and she said, well, I don't hear a voice. And I was like, me neither, baby. I'm not a crazy person. It's that compunction. It's that compelling. It's that still, small feeling, that notion. And if you don't pray very often, then it's really hard to hear. If you never pray, it's so hard to hear, you might not believe it exists. So if you're somebody who has given themselves fully to their whims and desires, you're never going to hear it. And then you look at people who do hear it and be like, you idiot. That's not scientific. How do I know this? Because I was one of those people. Dad would come up here and sometimes I just get this feeling. And I knew my dad and believed him. Like, I knew he wouldn't lie. But I had never heard it. I had never felt it. And so I was like, how could, because I never gave the time. My eye was so full of the anxiety. My eye was so full of the ridicule and cynicism. My eye was so full of everything in my head that I wasn't able to hear that voice that I knew as a child. And that I know again now, and the one that leads me when I'm faithful. When I'm not listening to it, all I can focus is on the things. My children are the best part of my life. And yet sometimes I get so angry at them because I'm not listening. It's in those moments my eye gets covered up and I can't see them for what they are. I can only think about the things that they do that bother me. How many times have I told her this? Why won't Aiden just... It's blocked. I can't see it. And then I'm able to pray. Lord, help me. And then they remind me that they're children. They're not perfect. Remind them. Be patient with them. And when I'm in that mode where my eye is not clear, you'll never believe how my kids react to me. Rolling eyes. They can sense it. They can feel it. They can see when I'm coming at them. Jew, how many times have I told you? I can see it. But when I'm clear, when my eye is clear, my body is clear. Baby girl, you know how much I love you. Yeah, Dad, I know. How many times have I asked you to do this thing? Would you please do it? It means a lot to me. Yes, Daddy, I'll do it. The same thing. In one circumstance, the eye is blocked up. In the other one, it's clear. In all things, He can lead me into all truths. Regardless of the storm, I have that foundation. Be faithful. I got a whiteboard in my room. I originally used it for working out. And I weigh myself every day. This is just my own personal thing. I weigh myself on it, and then the days that I work out, I have like if it's a good workout, I put 3 X's and then like, you know, chest, back, or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I didn't get everything down, it's 2 X's. And if I just kind of like lift it away and put it back down, that gets 1 X. But that way it lets me know how I'm doing. So I started to do the same thing with my prayer time. And every morning that I do it, I put a little smiley face on that same whiteboard. And wouldn't you know it, the more smiley faces on the whiteboard, the better my life seems to be. And the better my life seems to be, the more smiley faces go up there. Coincidence, Victor? I think not. It's about keeping it clear for me. It's better that I go. I'll send you a helper. And he will lead you into all truth about your children, about the church, about traffic, about every single thing. If Jesus said, "Behold, Peter, the internet is like a blind man who walked." He didn't preach about that because Peter didn't know about the internet. But he sent us a helper. In 100,000 years, whatever those celestial beings have to deal with, there it will be, guiding them on firm ground. In Baghdad, in Sri Lanka, in Culver City, wherever it is, wherever you are, there it is. It guides you. The devil has lied to us. He's blocked it up. So we all look at our books and point at other people and point at our books. Muslims say, "In my book it says I'm right and you're wrong." Christians say, "In my book it says I'm right and you're wrong." Mormons say, "I don't even know." He didn't come just to save me. He didn't come just to save Christians. Everything has been given to me by my Father. And what has been given to me, I lose nothing. Even a sanctimonious turd who won't listen to his father, I lose nothing. Even a blonde-haired, green-eyed girl who won't clean her room, I lose nothing. Even three turd middle schoolers who talked about things they shouldn't be talking about, I lose nothing. It's just about what we are willing to suffer. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Bring the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the light of understanding and awareness to your problem, and then let it go. Your fears, your misconceptions, all of it. You gotta let it go. My heart breaks for my friend. She should be so happy. She's miserable. People could say, "Well, it's easy for you to say," and they give themselves an excuse. You can't fight it because you strengthen it. You gotta let it go. The Holy Spirit is filled with goodness and love. Hey, baby girl. And there's so much of it in the world. And yet we spend all of our time with our eyes closed. We gotta let it go. Only in doing that are you able to see the truth. What truth might that be? Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you about all things. He won't lose it. He's faithful. He'll guide you. It's good. It's so good. It's so good. If we spent 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, slowing our mind down, slowing our breathing down, and praying to the Lord, it's so good. Would I spend a 10 more minutes BuzzFeed, which member of Friends are you? 10 extra minutes answering emails? 10 extra minutes grading papers? It's so, so good. Just listen. I would add this, and I'm about to close. Your prayer time, your journey is your own. And you have the whole world in front of you. Anything can be yours. But I find that when I was younger, I prayed like a list. I still do it at the end of my prayer. Please protect my children, give them wisdom, those kinds of things. These are the things that I want. But I would say, try it. I think you'll find a benefit. First, slow your mind down and listen. Because He may reveal to you things that you need to pray for that you didn't realize. I always thought of myself as kind of an easygoing person. I didn't realize how anxious I was until I started spending time praying and trying to be more aware. Take a moment to listen and to be thankful. And then pray for the things that you need. And He'll be faithful. Because that's who He is. That's what He does. I pray the best I can, and then I try and listen to what He would have me do, humble myself and listen to the guidance. And then sometimes it's just all a mess up here. But sometimes I get real wisdom and revelations in my own life. And sometimes I'm able to hear it from other people. But in as much as I'm faithful to get after it, I get a little more clarity. And the more clarity I have up here, the more clarity I have throughout my body, throughout my life. The Holy Spirit is faithful to attend to us. We just so often think we've got it figured out. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for taking this time. I hope you get something out of it. Be mindful this week. Set something on your phone. Write something on a paper. Be mindful. Work at it. What does it gain a man if he gains the world and forfeits his soul? Whether there's 2 people or 1,000 people in this room, what does it gain somebody if they're miserable? The Holy Spirit will reveal to you the foundation that you got to live your life on. And then we just follow it. We just follow it. The problem is it's difficult because so many things. I was reading this book. This I will close with, Victor. And it's talking about, you know, praying and spirituality and kind of working on awareness. He said the mind's like a puppy, right? The puppy's constantly running off, constantly going over here, right? And we don't slap the puppy and bring it back. We gently guide the puppy back to its owner. We gently guide the puppy back. Gently guide the puppy back to the one who knows what's going on. That's us. So our mind starts to wander, starts to be afraid, starts to worry about, you know, oh, I heard on the NPR, they said this and that and the other, and we get all over here, and then we just bring it back. We just bring it back to the foundation of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that He will grant us. Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you for who you are, Lord, for the wisdom that you can give us, for the wisdom, for the progress, for the growth that you can give us. Please remind us this week, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to take time out of our busy lives. There's so many things to do. Help us to be faithful, Lord. Bring us back to you. Like the puppy who wanders away, bring us back. Bring us back. Bring us back. For you are good. And you will lead us into goodness. Please heal those who are sick. Heal Ben, Lord. Heal him in his abdomen. Close up all of those holes, Lord. Heal him in his mind. Give him peace, Lord. Give him awareness, Lord. Be with Victor and Josette as they deal with this terrible situation. Give them peace and rest when they can, Lord. Courage and strength when they need it, Lord. We pray for Hector and Ashley. Heal them up, Lord. You're a God of life, and we want it. We need it. Give it to us, Lord, and help the rest of us this week, Lord. Give us the awareness of your voice and the courage to follow it where it would go. Give us patience with those around us. And bring us back next week, filled with good news and praise reports, with peace and love and patience and clear eyes, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.